Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
It's the Disruption Zone, the impeachment going on full force, full speed, and there's been some interesting and crazy things that have been said. In fact, I've got a couple of audio bites I'll play for you. These just broke last night. Apparently, old videos have surfaced showing John Bolton praising the president's meetings or calls with Zelensky and talking about how important it is that we actually absolve the situation of corruption.
I will be meeting President Zelensky. He and President Trump have already spoken twice. President called to congratulate President Zelensky on his election and then on his success in the parliamentary election. They were very warm and cordial calls. We're hoping that they'll be able to meet in Warsaw and have a few minutes together because the success of Ukraine, maintaining its freedom, its system of representative government, a free market economy free of corruption, and dealing with the problems of the Donbass and the Crimea are high priorities here, obviously, but high priorities for the United States as well.
Now, this is interesting because his book, which he's trying to sell right now, claims that there was all this subterfuge here. But here's John Bolton back in August talking to European media, saying what a great relationship we have with them and how awesome it'll be that we can clean up corruption and how important cleaning up corruption is to the security of the national defense. And I think that's fascinating because here's the thing. What President Trump did in his call clearly would have benefited him had it all come to fruition, but it also would have benefited the country. And that's a key distinction. Here's another old video. This one shows Adam Schiff saying that John Bolton has no credibility. And I hadn't thought about this until I actually saw this audio. Listen.
Mr. Bolton has been AWOL. He's more focused on the next job than doing well at the last job. And particularly given the history where we've had the politicization of intelligence over WMD, why we would pick someone who the very same issue has been raised repeatedly, and that is John Bolton's politicization of the intelligence he got on Cuba and on other issues. Why would we want someone with that lack of credibility? I can't understand.
Now, what makes this fascinating is the fact that I had forgotten that John Bolton was hated by the left. I hadn't forgotten it, but it was sort of in the back of my mind. He was hated by the left for being a warmonger and for being involved in what got us into some of the wars in the Middle East in the first place. Along comes President Trump, and he's the least militarily aggressive president in the last 20 years. You'd think the Democrats would love that. Well, I don't know why he hired Bolton, and I said at the time it was a bad idea and these two would come to blows because Bolton wants war and President Trump doesn't. So now you have a guy with a vendetta who got fired, who's mad, who's angry, who lost his place in the eliterati, and he's trying to sell books. And you've got old videos of the very Democrats holding him up now as some kind of, this is the guy who proves impeachment. Those old videos are showing that those same Democrats didn't trust him. So what do you do? Anyway, let's dive into the middle of this and talk with Senator Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul joining us. Senator Paul, the schedule today, more back and forth, and I guess at some point we're going to have some sort of vote on whether or not we'll have a vote on bringing witnesses. How's this all working?
We have about 8 more hours of questions. I plan on bringing up a question early on after the beginning of the proceedings today that will bring forth names of young people who were together at the National Security Council, including 3 members of Adam Schiff's staff and 1 other individual, who there are reports that these people plotted together to originate the impeachment proceeding well before the phone call occurred. And I'll ask a question on that. There is some debate as to whether or not that question will be allowed. If it's disallowed, in all likelihood, I will challenge the ruling of the chair and we'll have a vote on it. But I think it's important to enter into the proceedings that there were young people who were holdovers from the Obama and Biden administration, activist Democrats in the apparatus of the National Security Council, who were openly talking about bringing Trump down well before the phone call, really as soon as he was elected.
I mean, if that's true, isn't that a coup? or soft coup or an attempted coup?
Well, if it's true, people need to factor it into their decisions at the very least.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be excluded. And Adam Schiff has done everything possible to exclude any of the truth over the origins of this impeachment process. And that's just not fair to the president. So I think the president should get to hear from all his accusers. And I'll be putting forth these names. I don't know who these people are. I have no idea if any of them are the whistleblower or not. Mm-hmm. Adam Schiff claims that he doesn't know either. I can't imagine the Chief Justice knows who the whistleblower is, nor the president's team. If nobody knows who he is, I don't know how they can prevent a question about people who work together at one point in time who are instrumental in the impeachment process. I don't know how you can exclude something like that if nobody knows who the hell the whistleblower is.
Well, see, I was asking, like, when you said you were going to bring up this question, the first thing that popped in my mind is, why wouldn't they allow it? Like, why would they not even allow you to ask that question?
We're going to find that out, and that may not be true. That's what's been reported in the press, is okay. It won't be allowed. I have no idea. I'm 50-50 on it. If it is disallowed, I will challenge the ruling of the chair, and we'll have a vote on whether it's allowed. I think it needs to be entered into the record, because if we're going to go down this route of having, you know, dozens and dozens of witnesses, I want all these names in the record, because I think they all need to be called, including Adam Schiff's team, including Adam Schiff, and including anybody who had anything to do with the origins, of this impeachment process.
And from the outside looking in, you know, from an average American standpoint on this, I think there's a lot of people that are scratching their heads because they're hearing reports like, oh, there's discussions going on of a one-for-one trade. Like, we'll give you John Bolton if you give us Hunter Biden. And the American people look at this and go, how is this even anything? You know what I mean? It's like, either we should hear from all of the witnesses, which includes the president's defense witnesses, or we should hear from none of them, and this whole thing should just end because it's a complete political charade.
Yeah, my position has always been all or none, not just this, tit for tat, trade one for another. I will introduce, if they say we're going to have witnesses, if we cannot get enough Republicans to say enough's enough, we're done with this, and they want witnesses, I'm going to have a motion that says the president gets to bring in any witness that he deems necessary to his defense. And there's lots of people that I would like to hear from. So you got Vindman, who comes strutting in with his uniform and his medal and talking about how patriotic he is. Well, you know who his boss is? Lieutenant General Kellogg was his boss, and he said that he thought there was nothing wrong with the phone call. So you got Vindman all saying how horrible and it's the end of the republic because President Trump is so terrible. And then you have his boss saying the opposite. You know, so that would sort of be an interesting contrast if they want to bring that in. But we can't just say, oh, we're bringing in Bolton and nobody else.
Right.
But we'd have to hear from the whistleblower. We'd have to hear from Adam Schiff. I think we'd have to hear from Hunter Biden. Because if the president says he was investigating corruption, wouldn't we want to know if the Bidens are corrupt? If they're saints and ready for sainthood, maybe he made a mistake. But if there's evidence that Hunter Biden was getting $1 million a year with no indication of why he should be, other than that his dad was vice president and involved with firing the prosecutor that was investigating the company that hired Hunter Biden, boy, we sure would want to know that.
What do you think the chances are that witnesses will be called at all at this point?
It all comes down to about one or two people. You know, I believe that there are two Republican senators who are probably going to vote for witnesses, and I think there's one that sort of hangs in the balance, and it depends on which way that one goes. If that one goes with witnesses, it's 50-50. Now, 50-50 might lose if Chief Justice Roberts abstains, but if he rules in favor of witnesses, I think he probably is allowed to be the deciding vote. It's never happened. Mm-hmm. You know, typically in the Senate, the deciding vote on 50-50 is the vice president. But in this particular proceeding, the vice president doesn't sit in the chair. They thought he wouldn't be disinterested. And so they put the chief justice in the chair. Some say That's Roberts' personality is not to be overly aggressive in deciding questions like this, and he might leave it to the body. 50-50, though, would fail, and the proposition is about bringing witnesses in. It's an affirmative proposition, so basically we'd have no witnesses if it fails. It'd still be better to make it clean and have it 51-49 and not have to worry about what happens at the time.
Right, because the media would take that and run with it anyway and be like, well, it was a hang situation. So we're talking with Senator Rand Paul, although I do think it's funny that Justice Roberts' personality is one that would be like not necessarily wanting to be aggressive, and yet he was awfully aggressive in that Obamacare decision, was he not, when he took it upon himself to decide that it was a tax or whatever? So.
Yeah, it was very much an activist position he took, which was that if we can imagine any way that that law was constitutional, we must imagine it, even if the government's not arguing it. Even if the government argues that Obamacare is a regulation, we can imagine that it's a tax, and we're just going to give the government unlimited authority on taxation. And so, yeah, it was a terrible ruling, and I'm still unhappy about that ruling. But I don't know what he would do. And so the problem is I think this is a political exercise, and it shouldn't be decided by the judiciary. The other thing is, see, the judiciary is going to be hearing some of these things, so he has a little bit of conflict himself in that if the president exerts executive privilege, that will go to court, and that goes all the way to the Supreme Court, because you know they're not going to agree to let the lower court decide this. So it'll go all the way to the Supreme Court, and when it gets to the Supreme Court, he gets to decide that, and he gets to decide other questions in the trial. It's sort of a weird crossover that he gets to decide both sides of a question.
Wow. I wonder if he'd have to recuse himself in that type of setting. That's interesting.
That's sort of interesting. I don't know what happens. I think the easiest thing and the best thing for the country would be done with this. We've heard 17 witnesses, so Adam Schiff's a liar when he stands up there and says, "Who could have a trial without witnesses?" Well, you know, crying and doing your thespian act is really not, you know, telling the truth. The truth is we've had 17 witnesses. We've seen and heard their testimony, and these were 17 witnesses called and selected by Adam Schiff. The president didn't get to select anybody. The president didn't get to cross-examine any of these witnesses. But just with the kangaroo court that Adam Schiff ran over there, the president seems done a pretty good job of poking holes in it with his own witnesses. Every witness said there wasn't any crime committed. There wasn't one witness saying a crime was committed. And many of them didn't have a disagreement with the phone call necessarily. So, I mean, Vindman is sort of their star and a few other disgruntled people. And if they can get disgruntled Bolton in, you know, that'll add to their case. And he'll sell a lot of books. But I don't think his motives are disinterested or neutral. I think he has great hostility over being fired, and he has a great monetary motive to stir things up right now.
And he has great hostility over the fact that he was a warmonger working for the least militarily aggressive president in the last 20 years. What is your take, though, on his revelations? I mean, does it sway you at all that he says, "Hey, you know, I was there and I was concerned about what President Trump was doing. He didn't have the authority to do it," or whatever?
I worry when I see somebody come forward with opinions that contradict everything else they've said for most of their life. So for most of his life, not only has he been a warmonger, he's been a big defender of executive power and executive privilege.
Right.
He's written extensively about this. He's spoken about it his entire life, that presidents have, you know, all of this power with regards to war, and he would have defended the secrecy of the Bush administration or this one to the end of time had he not been fired. Mm-hmm. But now he's been fired and he's got a book. See, he was for executive privilege a month ago. He was refusing to testify to the House, and he was going along with the president a month ago. Now he's got a book out, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, you know, at $29.95 a book or $39.95 a book, if I gin up this testimony, how much could I make? An extra $1 million just by ginning up my testimony?" So no, I don't trust that somebody who's changed their lifelong opinions and somebody who's just gotten fired can be objective about it. So I don't think he'll be objective witness. Do I think he'll lie? You know, lie's a strong word. I don't know about that, but I don't think he'll be objective about it. But they're already trotting out old clips. The president's team have found clips of him talking about how generalized the problem of corruption was in Ukraine. And you're really a dissembler if you say that there is no problem with corruption in Ukraine. There still is a problem with corruption in Ukraine, but it's been the main thing. Everybody's complained about corruption in Ukraine for a decade or more.
Well, I think the laughable thing, we're talking with Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, the laughable thing is that, you know, I've heard people, I think it was several journalists that I saw on Twitter yesterday, where the president's argument is basically, look, this may have benefited me politically, but it also benefited the country. And that every president in history has done things that have been beneficial to the country and also, by the way, beneficial to them politically, because benefiting the country is always politically beneficial to a president. It's their job.
Well, I think that's a good point. I'm going to have to run with this point because they're calling me out.
Right.
But I would say that Dershowitz has made a good point that, you know, almost every president's been accused of abuse of power. I probably accused President Obama of abuse of power 20 times. And I think he did abuse his power. That's a political thing. And I voted against him and I worked to have him defeated. But I didn't say we should impeach Obama. So that's the difference, is we just can't impeach everybody we disagree with. But thanks for having me on. I got
to
run.
All right. Talk to you later. Senator Rand Paul.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, just a quick update on the impeachment situation. I'm Leland Conway. Thanks for listening to The Disruption Zone. So much coming your way. Tomorrow we're going to have a great guest, or coming up, we're going to have a great guest in the next episode about what is actually happening in the Middle East. And my friend Loretta Powers, legal expert extraordinaire, joins us to talk about some very weird legal cases. So we'll get all that ahead on The Disruption Zone. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Leland Show and at Zone Disruption. So follow both those accounts. Also on Instagram, at GreatLelando and at The Disruption Zone, and also on Facebook. And I'll keep you updated on when episodes are going to drop and how you can listen. Again, I'm Leland Conway. Thanks for listening to The Disruption Zone. Thanks to Neil Kesterson and Dynamics Productions in Lexington, Kentucky for production assistance. We always appreciate them on The Disruption Zone.